So this year is the year of bearing fruit here at the church. I really believe that God's laid it on my heart that our church is not supposed to be comfortable, but that we're supposed to bear fruit. And that looks like inviting others to come to Jesus. Before we jump into God's word today, we got some special guests with us. We have my sister, Bethany Jack, who grew up here, and her husband, Kevin, and her pastor, Highland Park Church down in Florida. Bethany, would you wave at everyone? And then next to her is my wonderful father, who he had a birthday yesterday, a pretty big birthday, and so we celebrated that. So would you welcome Pastor Bob? For those of you that are new, Pastor Bob was the pastor of this church for 15 years and is now our district superintendent. He's over the whole Southwest Ohio district, and so it's awesome to have you guys. And I just want to say that I am proud to be the third best preacher in my family. And if you think I'm talking bad about myself, I'm not. Those two over there can speak. And I'm proud to be third best, and I probably would be fourth, but Robert didn't get called into it. So hey, here third is not bad, right? But I'm glad to be with you today. We had an awesome week in Guatemala. I'll talk about that a little bit more in a bit. But this series that we're working through is branching out, and we are called to bear fruit. God's plan for you and for our church is that we will branch out and we will bear fruit. We have kind of a thought that is our guiding thought through this series, and it's this, that if you are willing and obedient, God will work to build his kingdom through you. I'm going to say that a few more times. If you are willing and obedient, God will work to build his kingdom through you. And so we're working on branching out what that looks like. Last week was the beginning of our series, and we talked about prayer, that it always starts with prayer. And I challenged you last week to every day pray that God would open doors and that God would send out workers, because Jesus told us that the harvest is plentiful. I hope you've been praying that prayer. I want you to keep praying that prayer. Can I just give a quick testimony? I've been praying that prayer all week. And out of nowhere, I got a message from a teen that was in my youth group 20 years ago, reconnecting with me. Don't tell me that God is not opening doors and that God is not faithful. Another opportunity I had this week, God opened a door, and I was praying all week, and I'm still praying. When we were worshiping, I was sitting over there praying, God, send workers to bring in the harvest. Listen, God is doing great things, and God wants to bear fruit through us. And so if we will be willing and obedient, God will work to build his kingdom. Well, today we start with prayer. Today we're going to build on that and talk about something really simple, which is inviting people to Jesus. You guys are pretty good at inviting people to things, aren't you? How many of you invite people to things? How many of you in the last week have given someone a suggestion, invited them to try a new restaurant? Anybody? How many of you have given someone a suggestion for a new show or a movie? How many of you have shared your opinions or your thoughts? We're good at doing this. So 3 weeks ago, I was sitting in my office, and in case you don't follow my journey of my car ownership, I've been looking to get a new car. And I had a friend named Andrew come into the office, and he sat down in my office, and he said, "What's going on, man?" I said, "Well, I'm looking for a new car." And he looked at me and he said, "Oh man, you've got to check out the Volkswagen Atlas. It's amazing." He said, "My family's had one for a year now. We love it. It's got so much room. It's got everything you could want. It's a great car. You got to check out the Volkswagen Atlas." It was an invitation. We do this all the time, don't we? We invite each other to things. Today, I want to talk to you about inviting people to Jesus. We're so comfortable sharing our opinions on restaurants, on cars, on movies, on shows, our political opinions. We're pretty comfortable sharing those, aren't we? You're pretty comfortable sharing your opinion on the music we sing, aren't you? And on my preaching, aren't you? You have no problem sharing that. Listen, we as a church are called not just to pray for people, but to invite people to Jesus. And so today, I want you to keep praying, but I want you to to pray that you could invite some people to Jesus. We're going to look at John chapter 4. If you'll stand with me for God's word, the good news is you're getting the third best Mahaffey preacher. The better news is you're getting God's word today, and that's all you need. And so we stand because we believe that God wants to speak to us through his word, and we want to receive that. So it's not all going to be on the screen here. I'm going to read John chapter 4, starting in verse 4, and we're going to see an interaction that Jesus has with a woman. And so it says in verse 4, now he had gone through Samaria, Jesus had, and he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired from the journey, he sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" See, his disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? Because Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock?" And Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, please give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." And he told her, "Go call your husband." It gets really interesting here. He told her, "Go call your husband and come back." "Well, I have no husband," she replied. And Jesus said, "You're right when you say you have no husband. In fact, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." And she said, "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet." I'm going to skip down to verse 25. The woman said, "I know that the Messiah, called Christ, is coming, and when he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I, the one who am speaking to you, I am he." Skipping down to verse 28. The woman has encountered Jesus, the Messiah. She's heard about living water. In verse 28, it says, "Then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, 'Come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah?' And they came out of the town and they made their way to him." You can have a seat. Praise God for his word. So what I really want to do is I want to focus on three verses there. We read a lot, but you had to get the background. Jesus, this woman encountered Jesus at the well, and she had no clue who she was talking to. She had no clue who Jesus was. And he revealed himself to her. He said, "I am the Messiah." And he showed her that he knew all about her life. And so what did she do? She did what we do every week. She went and recommended something to people. She went to everyone else and she said, "You've got to see this guy. He told me about everything I've ever done. Could he be the Messiah?" Listen, we start with prayer. Every one of us should be praying every day, "Lord, open doors for people to come to know you." But listen, it's not enough for us to just sit comfortably and pray. God is calling us to invite others. So one of the simplest ways you can make an eternal impact, is to invite others to Jesus. You do it all the time. You invite people to things. You can make an eternal impact in someone else's life by inviting them to Jesus. We saw a video right before this, right before I got up here, of the way that invites God works in people's lives through your obedience to invite others. We are called to invite others to Jesus. It seems simple. We're good at it. We do it all the time. We share our opinions. We invite people to things. Why is it so hard for us to invite people to Jesus? I got to be honest with you. I look at the church every, and listen, I'm not trying to beat anyone up, but why do we struggle so much to share the most important thing in our life when we're so quick to give our opinions about cars or restaurants or movies? We are called to invite people to Jesus. That's our calling, church, is to glorify Him and to bring others to Jesus. So I want to look at three things that maybe will make this easier for you. I want you to keep praying this week, and I want you to pray that God would call you to invite somebody to Jesus. So three things I want you to see that maybe will make you feel better about this. Is the first thing we see is this. She goes to everyone and she says, come and see this man. He told me everything I've ever done. So what does she do? All she does in inviting people to Jesus is shares the experience that she's had with Jesus. She didn't come up with some perfect answer. She didn't have a textbook that she'd memorized. She didn't have the perfect line. She just shared her experience with Jesus. So the question I've got to ask, if we struggle to share our faith, the question I would ask is, when have you encountered Jesus? When was the last time you experienced Him? I'm just going to take a little time and I'm going to show you how this works. I spent a week in Guatemala. 2 years ago, our teens went and I got to go with the teens. And we went to this area and we saw what God was doing in this area of Guatemala. And guess what? I've been back twice since then and I plan to go many, many more times. Why do I keep going to Guatemala? Well, let me tell you this. It's not because of the 102 heat. That's how hot it was this week, being under a metal roof. It was hot. I don't enjoy that. It wasn't because of traveling. It wasn't because of anything other than this. Jesus is working there. Wednesday, we kicked off our Life Center. If you don't know why I went to Guatemala, we are partnering with a church in Guatemala and to do a Life Center, which is basically an added school for the students. See, the average child in Guatemala drops out of school after fifth grade and goes no further. And so there's a generational problem that they don't advance and get educated, and so they stay in the same place. So why are we doing the Life Center? Because we want to empower kids to continue their education and to grow. And we believe that God is calling us to do that, to make a difference, not just in education, but in their faith and in their health. And so we went to see this Life Center kicked off. Let me just give you a little bit of my experience. If you could have seen the 45 kids' faces, if you could have seen them, you would have felt what I felt, that those are God's children, that He loves, and He's called us to love. During the opening, they said if everyone could come up to the altars and all the kids and all their parents and all the leaders came up to the altars, and they said, we want you guys to go and pray over them. So we walked down and we put our hands on people's shoulders and we started praying. Oh, if you could have heard these people pray. I had no clue what they were saying. No clue. But if you could have heard them cry out to God. And if you just knew in the moment that Jesus was there, if you could have heard them pray, it would change the way you pray. Oh, if you could have felt the love that we felt. Different language, different lifestyle, different color of skin. If you could have felt the love that we felt, the love that was there from them to us, from us to them. And you know what? It wasn't anything other than the grace of God that was there, the Holy Spirit. If you could hear Don and Lana talk. Don and Lana are the missionaries. Don, who worked his whole career at P&G, and in retirement decided to invest everything he had into the mission field because he went to Guatemala and he experienced these things and God got a hold of his heart and said, you got to do this. So now their retirement is not kicking it up on the beach somewhere. It's loving the people of Guatemala. Why? Because Jesus is there. Listen, a lot of you have asked me, I had a great week. I was sick for half of it. It was hot. We worked. But it was great because Jesus Christ was there and I encountered him this week. That wasn't the first time. My family's over here. Growing up, moving, changing schools, going through life as a pastor's kid, not knowing exactly where God was going to call us. Can I tell you that God was always faithful and Jesus was always there for us? I remember 7 years ago, I was riding on a plane. I didn't know what my next step in my ministry was. And I was riding on a plane back from Texas, and the church that I had interviewed at had offered me the position, but I just knew that that wasn't what God had for me. And so I said, I'm sorry, this isn't it. And I got on a plane, and I had no clue what was next. I had no clue. And 30,000 feet in the air, Jesus showed up. And I encountered him. And he's been with me every day since. Our family and loss and change and all of it, he's been faithful every day. Every time I come to worship him this morning, sitting right over there with my hands up, I encountered Jesus. Listen, it's that simple. He's here. And you know, maybe there's some of you here that would say, hey, I'm not a Christian, I'm just here. Oh, man, let me tell you about Jesus. This woman had an encounter, and all she did was went and shared it with other people. If you're struggling to share your faith, just open your heart, encounter Jesus, share it with people. It's that simple. So she shared her faith. The second thing we see is that she invited them to the most important thing in her life. So she started by saying, hey, come meet this guy that told me everything I've ever done. Come experience what I've experienced. But the second thing she said is this. She said, could this be the Messiah? See, these people had been waiting. They'd been searching. They were looking for the Messiah. And so she wasn't just giving them a friendly invitation to something. She was sharing the most important thing she could share. The Messiah, Jesus Christ. Sometimes I think we shy away. We're more than happy to share with you what our favorite restaurant is or what car we think you should drive or what we believe on this topic. Listen, nothing's changed in 2,000 years. What people need is the Messiah, and Jesus Christ is still the risen Messiah. He's still the Savior of the world, and church, we hold it. We're called to share it. So she says, could this be the Messiah? Listen, you've got a lot of stuff you could share with others. Guys, God is calling us to bear fruit. Not just, why do we share where to eat? Why do we share what car to drive? Why do we share all that stuff? Because we think we're going to help people. We think we'll make their life better. Well, their day will be better. If they eat at this place, they'll be happy. If they drive this car, they'll be happier than if they drive that car. So I'm willing to share that. Listen, we have the biggest thing that people need. It's Jesus. And so she didn't hesitate. She said, this could be the Messiah. You got to check it out. The third thing that I want you to see, and we're going to read a little bit more scripture here. The third thing is this, that when I tell you that we are called to invite people to Jesus, that doesn't mean that you have to prove who Jesus is. It doesn't mean that you have to have everything perfectly figured out. It doesn't mean that you have to convince someone that Jesus is the Messiah. All she did is she went and she said, come meet this guy. Come experience what I've experienced. This could be the Messiah. And then they came. And they experienced Jesus. Why do we struggle Sometimes I think we're afraid to share our faith because we're afraid it won't work out. I mean, what if someone comes to church and they don't like it? What if I invite someone and they never show up? What if it doesn't work out? That wasn't on her mind. She just invited people to experience what she'd experienced, invited them to the most important thing in her life. Verse 39, continuing the story, it says, many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony that he told me everything I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to Jesus, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. Verse 42 is awesome. They said to the woman, hey, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man is really the Savior of the world. Praise God. She was just obedient to share. She was just faithful to invite people to Jesus. She didn't have to prove him. She didn't have to come up with the argument. She just invited. What drew them to Jesus? Well, it was a changed heart. It was a woman who was convinced. You know, when my friend came in and said, you got to check out the Atlas, he was convincing. He told me all the reasons, and I thought, man, this guy has some conviction. Probably worth checking out. That's what this woman came and said, you got to meet this Jesus. He's amazing. This could be the Messiah. And that was enough. Listen, can I tell you the truth about something? Invitations work. We saw a video at the beginning of people who came to church. Why? Because they were invited. Invitations work. Let me take a step further. God's plan to build his kingdom has always been to empower his people to share their faith with others. God's plan isn't to have a big musical revival one day and everyone's just going to come flock out of everywhere and check it out and come to know Jesus. No, God's plan is to empower his people that have encountered him, and then we share our faith and people come to know Jesus. See, our testimony and our invitation will bring people to Jesus. I said it at the beginning, I'll say it again. If you are willing and obedient, God will work to build his kingdom through you. All we got to do is invite. Now, why is that? Because people are searching, guys. Just like in that day, people were looking for the Messiah. People in our day, I mean, they may have no clue what they're looking for, but they're searching for salvation. They're searching for the Savior. And the same God that showed up to that woman at the well, the same Spirit that's at work there, is the same God that's with you today, and the same God is with the people that and wants people to come to know him. Listen to what God's Word says, 1 Timothy 2. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to knowledge of the truth. 2 Peter 3, not wishing that any would perish, but that all would reach repentance. The Great Commission, go and make disciples of all nations. God's plan, God's desire is that the people that he calls us to will come to know him. And so it's not our job to prove Jesus. It's our job to be faithful and obedient and invite. They said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we've heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. We invite, we point people to Jesus, we invite people to experience what we've experienced. And Jesus changes hearts and lives. One of the simplest ways you can have an eternal impact on the people around you is to invite them to Jesus. So here's the deal. There's people around you Hopefully you've been praying, maybe past, but maybe just this last week. Hopefully you've been praying, God, open doors. God, send out workers. Hopefully you've been praying that with an obedient heart. I shared my testimony that two different opportunities presented themselves to me this week. Listen, if you will pray, God is faithful. So now the second question is, okay, God, how do you want me to point people to you? And here's the great news today. It's not on our power, but our God is doing great things, and our God is faithful. He will change hearts and lives. He will, if we are obedient and willing, He will build His kingdom through us. So it's 2024. We, Westchester Nazarene, are called to bear fruit. We're not going to be a country club that we come in and slap high fives and say, aren't we having a good time? We are. We're having a good time. You having a good time? I'm having a good time. We're not going to sit here. We're going to go. We're going to go work in people's yards. We're going to go to Guatemala. We're going to go to the homeless in the city. We're going to go everywhere we can, and we are going to invite people to Jesus because it's what we're called to do. Worship team, come on up. Here's what I want. Why don't you stand with me? We're going to sing a song called There's Nothing Our God Can't Do. And as we sing this song, I want you to continue praying, just as you have been, continue praying, God, open doors. And this week, I believe if you pray that, God is going to open doors. I want you to take the next step today, and I want you to pray as we're singing. I want you to pray, I want you to worship, I want you to trust that our God wants to build His kingdom and bear fruit in your life. Here's the deal. One of the guys that reached out to me this week, it's a dark situation. There's a long way to go there. But I believe that our God is greater, that His grace is more than sufficient, that His Spirit is more than powerful enough to change the hearts and lives of the people around me because He did it for me. As we worship, let names come to your mind. Maybe lift up your hands. And let's proclaim that our God is able, that He wants to work through us. Father, I pray that You would speak to us. I pray that You would lay names and faces on our hearts and minds today. And I pray that You would call us to take a step of faith, to not just be comfortable and sit back, but to take the step of faith and to invite people to You. Lord, if there's anybody in here who hasn't come to know You as their Savior, Lord, I pray today that Your Spirit would move. Lord, we surrender ourselves to You. We offer everything, and we pray to You not in a spirit of defeat, but in a spirit of victory, because we know that Your church will overcome, and we know that Your kingdom is being built. And so I pray that as we sing this song, that we would proclaim it with everything we have, that our God will not fail, and that there's nothing that our God can't do. There's no person that's too far. There's no situation that's too messed up. We give it all to You, Lord. We trust that You're going to work, and we commit ourselves to be obedient to You. We will build Your kingdom. We will bear fruit. In the precious and powerful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen.